Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our text for this day of Pentecost is actually a double text. We will actually read from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, and then also John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 23, where we read in the name of our Lord. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Then continuing with the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20, at verse 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Amen. After the reading of the Gospel on Pentecost, we extinguish the Paschal candle because the Holy Spirit is now in us. We understand the light of the world is with us and present at all times. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, who can imagine such a gift that you chose to dwell in us and be with us forever. And Father, we pray even on this day of Pentecost that we would understand what you have wrought, and so that, Father, we would live in what you have done through the finished work of your Son, all in accordance with your very will, that, Father, your Holy Spirit is in us, and you have made us to be partakers of the divine nature. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word indeed is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. It is, of course, tremendously significant that as we remember this day in the history of the church, that we realize exactly what Jesus was talking about in fulfillment of the promise that God would give. We understand very clearly with the fall of Adam and Eve that the race of humanity was changed forever. That in reality, this introduction into sin and death had actually destroyed the race and had brought us to the point of absolute hopelessness. But God, in his goodness and his grace, chose to intercede for his creation. And he brought forth, as the scripture says, the last Adam, Jesus the Christ, the last human being, that through this human being, he would overcome the sin and the death that had been introduced by the fall of our first parents. And he would bring a restoration, a renewal, if you will. And you remember that at the creation, it was the Spirit of God that was hovering over the waters in order to indicate the agency of the Spirit in that creation. And all things were brought forth through the Word, who is Jesus the Christ, that now we would understand that it's through Jesus the Christ and this agency of his creation and the Holy Spirit of God who is brooding over the waters that now life would be introduced. And you understand in Genesis 2, it says very clearly that God formed Ha-Adam in Hebrew. The earthly thing is what that means. And he formed him out of the earth, but he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, ruach in Hebrew. Breath and spirit are the same word. He breathed into the human being the spirit of life. He gave him to have the spirit. And Adam and Eve forfeited that and entered into death. But you understand, when Jesus Christ was baptized, John the Baptizer saw the Spirit descend upon Jesus. In order to understand, Jesus didn't need the Holy Spirit, but humanity did. God restored the Spirit to humanity so that his Son, at the point of his resurrection, would breathe the breath of life back into us. And he would renew us, and he would strengthen us, and he would recreate us so that we would be found in the image of God. This is what we talk about on Pentecost. It's not hard for God to have a big wind or something that sounds like a big wind, and it's not hard for God to put tongues of fire on people's heads. It's not, that's nothing. That's easy for God. That's like, okay, that's how that happens. There's nothing to that. What's amazing is that on the day of Pentecost, what takes place is God is pleased. He is pleased to announce what he has done through his Son, Jesus Christ, to all people so that all people can hear this message and they don't hear it in some strange tongue. They don't hear it in some way that they can't hear it. They don't hear it in some special religious language. They don't hear any of that nonsense. What they hear in their own language is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That in hearing this, this is the renewal. This is what God had always intended for humankind. And it had to take place within human history. It had to wait for human history. But once it takes place, it is complete and it is accomplished. So that now all people everywhere, all people anywhere, at any time, any place, they are totally, totally received by God. God has poured out his Spirit upon humankind so that people may freely come to God and they may freely receive of his goodness. They may freely receive of that grace. And that's what Pentecost is about. The thing is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That we would understand this and realize this is what he was up to all along, was the salvation of humankind. And it wasn't enough just to simply perform an act of saving us. But he also with him gave us every good thing. And he gave us himself. That the Holy Spirit dwelling within us would, as St. Peter says, make us to be partakers of the divine nature. And this is where we are lied to all the time. Because we're always told to reflect back on yourself and see what a miserable scumbucket you are. Always think of all the negative stuff that you've ever done in your life and just hope that God in some way, shape, or form is going to back off enough to let you make it to heaven. And what a crock. You might just as well go up to the face of Jesus Christ and spit right in it. Because it's like he didn't do anything. The fact of the matter is he did everything. He did everything. He took away the sin of the world. And there is no benefit in wallowing in it. That's not righteous. It's not religious. It's just plain stupid. The reality is, when we come to understand the day of Pentecost, we understand that God speaks to these very people that were in Jerusalem at the time of the crucifixion of Jesus. Many of them who may have been part of the crowd that screamed for his death. God forgave them all. And simply summoned them to come. And you understand, that's exactly, you know, we didn't read all of chapter 2, but that's basically what happens. They ask Peter, well, what are we supposed to do? He says, repent and be baptized. That's all he says. He says, repent and be baptized. He says, come to your Lord. He will receive you. He will make you pure. He will make you holy. He will take away your sin. And guess what? That's what he did. That's exactly what he did. He did exactly what he promised. And that wasn't enough. He gave us the Holy Spirit to make sure that any time we wanted to wallow around in our sin, he'd show up and give us a good smack across the face and say, what are you, take stupid pills today? You're a child of God. Act like it. You've been redeemed. We sing that song sometimes. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Full of the Holy Ghost, I am. And that's the whole point of Pentecost. It's a miracle. God in his goodness, God in his grace, fulfilled the promise. And he lifted us up forever to be with him forever. He made us to be his children. That he would love us. That he would keep us. And that's why when we read from John 20, that's what he says. He says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them the breath of life, just as he did at the creation. And he renewed his apostles. And on the day of Pentecost, that was made manifest. This is what he did. And what did they do? They stood up and they preached the word to people. And what happened when they preached the word to people? They took an offering. No, they didn't. But you understand, that's what we do. We become religious, you know. We figure out other sorts of things to do. They just preached the word to people. And people freely came. And they freely received. And God freely brought them to be his own. And he marked them out in baptism as his own. And he assured them that all the days of their lives, they would be his own. And this is what John was talking about in chapter 7. As he recalls what Jesus did when he stood at the last great day of the feast. And it says, Jesus stood and he said, if any person is thirsty, if they're thirsty, he says, then come to me. He says, just come to me and drink. And you remember, that's what it says in Isaiah. He says very clearly, you who thirst, he says, come to me. He says, I will slake your thirst. And Jesus says, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his gut. My mother would kill me. She hated that word. Out of his gut. Is what this says in Greek. Out of his gut. He says, out of his innermost being. He says, rivers of living water will flow. Now I understand what that means. It's not flowing in. It's flowing out. Out. It says, it is from us that living water will come forth. You remember, Peter, he wasn't so hot. You know, Peter, he kept on stumbling over everything. Peter even denied Jesus three times. On the day of Pentecost, Peter is a different person. And he stands up and he preaches freely in front of the very same people that had hostility towards the gospel. And he preaches freely because he is now reborn through the Holy Spirit of God. And he brings forth this tremendous announcement of this great salvation that God has worked through this man that they just crucified, he says. Through him, because God raised him from the dead. And Peter has no fear anymore to stand up and simply declare the word of God, because he expects full well of what's going to happen. And that's why John says, he says, but this he spoke of the Spirit. John has nice parenthetical statements within his gospel. It says, but he spoke of the Spirit, which they who believe on him would receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet received his splendor. But when Jesus received his splendor, when he ascended into the heavens, and he took up his place at the right side of God, and he entered into the eternal intercession for the human race, the Spirit was given. And the Spirit was given to remind us always of who we are in Jesus Christ, to remind us of the gospel, to constantly bring us to that place that we would know the forgiveness of our sins in the name and blood of Jesus, and we would be at peace, that we would be at peace in this world, that we would recognize and know the depth of that salvation, that we would know the gospel, and the gospel would come out of us like streams of living water. And that's what it means. It pours out. He poured out the Spirit on humankind so that the gospel would pour out from us. And that's what this day is all about. Now, the cool thing is that we just kind of celebrate this one day in the Christian calendar, but we realize that this is a permanent thing. It's done all the time. That this is how greatly God loved humanity. That he was not ashamed to come to us in the flesh and to live and abide with us in the flesh, because his Son became us. And abiding with us in the flesh, he won the victory. And he won that victory for eternity. That now, by that victory, the Holy Spirit reminding us that we are more than conquerors through Jesus the Christ. And we are the very offspring of God. That we should live. And that's what makes this day incredibly sacred. But it makes every day incredibly sacred. Because this is the gift of life from God. It's the gift of life. And we are fools if we go back to living in the death. If we return to the death, and all we do is we think about everything that we've done wrong and how miserable we are, then we've lost sight of what's really important. Because I'm here to tell you right now, all of that is in the past. It's in the past. And it's all been forgotten. That's what the scripture says. It's not only forgotten, it's not only forgiven, it's forgotten. And it says that God will remember your sins and your iniquities no more. That's what the Spirit comes to bring. It's to remind us at all points. And I've told you that before. That's what St. Peter said. When he gets to the end of his life, he says very clearly, he says, if you're still wandering around in your sins, he says, if you're still wallowing in those sins, he says, then you've forgotten that you have been purged from your old sins. And he says, and I'm going to spend the rest of my days, he says, because you know that I'm going to be offered as a sacrifice, he says, but I'm going to spend the rest of my days telling you. He says, I'm going to spend the rest of my days telling you so that you remember you have been purged from your old sins. Don't wallow around in them. You can't make them better. I always use that illustration. I've probably used it many times because I'm a tennis player, tennis coach. I was a tennis player, tennis coach. You watch people hit a lob, they send it up in the air, and your players stand there and look at it. And I ask them all the time, what are you looking at it for? You're not going to change that thing. You know, it's up there in the air. If it's short, then back up. If it's a good lob, then run forward. But don't stand there and look at it, because standing there and looking at it isn't going to do anything. And that's precisely the point. If we've been liberated from our sins and we have been set free through the blood of Jesus Christ, then why wallow in it? They're done. And now we move forward. Because when Jesus hits a lob, it's always a good lob. When Jesus hits a shot, it's always good. And the reality of things is, it's perfect. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we stand before God as perfect. We stand before God as righteous. We stand before God as blameless. And the Spirit of God tells us, you're mine. I bought you with a price. You are mine. And I will never let you go. Today, too, in this weekend, we remember all of those who pay the last full measure. We understand and we are thankful. We approach our God with thankful hearts for such a great sacrifice. And we understand that very often it was with great pain and with great suffering. And we understand and we realize that. But we realize what they looked for, what they made that sacrifice for, is not so that we would wallow in the pain, but that we would understand the freedom, that we would live in the release, that we would live in the preservation of what they did, that their blood would always be a reminder that we would know the value of our freedom, and we would take it very seriously. And that is a wonderful reflection of the gospel, because that's the whole point of the gospel, is to be free, and to live as those who have been made free, because we are indeed the children of God. We are renewed in the last Adam, and all of us have been made partakers of that new Adam in that new life by faith through Jesus Christ. This is just a great day. I hate to tell you, it's just a wonderful day, and not because we finally got good weather in the Copper Country. It's a great day. It's a great day because we are new in the eyes of Jesus the Christ and our God, and we will never grow old. Never grow old. And the Spirit is the down payment of that, as the scripture says, so that when the day comes when we are finally withdrawn from this earth, the testimony of the Holy Spirit will be fully realized in us, in that we will be fully new and complete, and we will stand before God as we were always intended to be, His very own beloved children. And that song of praise and that song of joy will eternally be on our lips. So whatever you do this weekend to have fun, you do it. Have a lot of fun. You know, this is just a great weekend to have fun. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. And get used to it. Because God intends joy and God intends peace. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him for us. He gave him for you. He gave him for me. He gave him for all the people out there. that joy would fill our souls and that life would abide in us forever. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, that's who you are. You are the gracious and the almighty God. You have chosen to give us grace, and because you are almighty, that's exactly what has happened. And that's what we constantly need to remember. It's not how we feel or how we think. It's what you have done. It's what you think. And Father, you think so much of us that you gave us Jesus. And you saw fit to give us your Holy Spirit that we would know. And Father, we pray that you would bathe us in that knowledge through your word. That constantly, wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever phase of life that we are in, that Father, by that same Spirit, you would constantly bring us to that place of acknowledging that marvelous redemption and knowing, Father, the glory of that eternal life that you have bestowed upon us freely through the sacrifice of your Son and his resurrection. And so it is, Father, that we offer you this day all glory, honor, praise, because you are worthy of all of it. For you do marvelous things, Father, and you do them all well. For Jesus' name's sake. Now may the grace